Have you ever been in a circumstance, or maybe today you're in a set of circumstances that you don't like? I know we're supposed to be content with what we have and stuff, and always rejoice and those kind of things, and we're not miserable necessarily, but we're in a set of circumstances today that we don't like the circumstances, whether it's financially, and as I've been saying, a lot of these principles, they apply to finances, but they also can apply to many other areas. And you find yourself in circumstances in where, whether it's financial or health or relationships or just emotionally different things, life's just not the way you would like it to be. At minimum, it's not the ideal. You know, it could be better. Have you ever said that before? It could be better. And so we're in those circumstances. And we'd love to have a cure, wouldn't we? We'd love to have a solution to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And we do that in ways technologically. We do it medically, where if something's wrong, what do we call it? When you feel something wrong in your body, that's called a symptom. You know, there's a symptom that I'm experiencing because I have this pain. Or have you ever gone to your phone and you wanted your phone to do something and it's not doing what you want it to do? Or a computer or your TV? And don't you love the 3,000 buttons that are on the remotes today? How do I make this thing just turn off? Okay, you want it to do what you want it to do. And you have a problem because it's not working. And same with your body. Your body, ever get up and start walking and you're like, okay, I'm not walking with the strength that I really would like to walk with. Have you ever had that before? Or I'm walking, there's something hurting in my foot, or I got a headache thing going on, and you're, you know, what is wrong? And you want to know what the solution is, right? And you see the pathway that we have to pursue with that is the solution only has somewhat to do with the symptoms. In order for us to find a solution, we need to figure out the cause of the symptoms. And sometimes, just like with technology, have you ever, like, you had that issue, your phone's not working, so you call someone who you know knows how to work phones. And you say, this is what's going on, and I can't figure out. And they say to you, what you probably love to hear is, well, there could probably be 100 different things that's causing that. I'd have to be in front of it and look at it, right? Or you go see the doctor, and you tell them their symptoms, and they're like, well, you know, it could be this, could be this, could be this. Let's do 300 tests and charge you $3 million for each test. And don't they do that to us? Because the symptom's not enough. I got to know what the cause is. And then once I find the cause, then I might be able to find the cure. And sometimes one symptom has several different potential causes. And the same is true with our passions and our emotions and our lifestyles and our actions and our spiritual life, where there's symptoms we're feeling and there's a cause that we need to find. And the last two messages, we talked about two potential causes to you being in financial hardship, though we can be in other places of hardship as well. One is ignorance. You know, just, I don't know how to make things work the right way, and so the solution to that, or the cure for that, is to have the knowledge, to know what I need to be doing. The second issue was the passions that we have. You know, we have these passions that drive us to do things. Have you ever, like, said something because you had the emotion to say it, you said it, and you thought, why did I say it? That wasn't logical to say that, but you had the passions that drove you to say it. And so we find the cure for that by realizing how to redirect those passions and manage those passions. But there is a third cause that we want to discuss this morning, because maybe, all right, Pastor Danny, I heard you. I hear the knowledge part. I got that information. I heard you about the passions part. But I still don't want to do that stuff. Have you ever felt that way before? You heard someone tell you how to do it. You heard them tell you how to, you know, make things get situated so you can do it. But when you sat back and thought about it, you thought, I still don't have the motivation to do that. Anybody care to admit that? Maybe not a spiritual thing, but have you ever had that where you just knew it was the right thing to do, it was the good thing to do, you knew how to do it, you just didn't want to, okay? That is the issue that we want to address this morning. And if you've ever watched TV, and have you ever seen those commercials where they advertise medication? And in those commercials, usually about half of the commercial, sometimes the entire commercial, all they're doing is telling you about all the bad things that could happen to you if you take this medication, right? Okay, have you ever seen those commercials? And even if it's not an issue you have, and so you don't really need to take the medication, but you just happen to be watching the commercial, and you're thinking, if I did have that issue, would I take the medication? And you're thinking, that doesn't sound very appealing to me, does it? I don't have motivation to take that medication because of all the potential things that do not sound great to me. Have you ever been there before? Okay. And we know, or at least some of us know, that the reason why they do that is because the government regulates to tell everybody all the different problems on their advertising, and so they have to do that, even if there's like a 1% chance that you might have that issue, and that's why some of you take the medications anyway, because you know it's a small chance. But when you know that if you do this thing, you could bring harm or negative things in your life that you don't want, that begins to motivate you to not do that, doesn't it? The more I realize the warning signs, or I read the label and I realize the dangers, we often decide not to do that. Or if we know the danger of not doing this thing, we decide to do it because we understand we do dangers. And so when we are finding ourselves asking, should we do this? For what reason am I motivated to do this? We need to ask ourselves the question about what are the potential problems that could be happening if I do this action? Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 7, and this is not on your outline, I don't think. Galatians 6, verse 7, Paul said, and we know this, that you reap what you sow. Now, you know what's interesting is that we know this throughout our culture, and we have different sayings that we have in our culture that we say, like, if you made your bed, then you got to lie in it, right? We know that. What goes around comes around. What goes up must come down. See, we know these things, don't we? Even non-Christians know these things. And you know what's odd is we know that we reap what we sow, and we often look for that to happen in other people's lives. Maybe not in the spirit do we do that. Perhaps you might have observed something happen in someone's life, and you may have uttered the words, they got what they deserved, finally. One of these days, they're going to get it. You say those kind of things, right? Or maybe, just maybe, some of you in your deep, deep, dark, quiet places where nobody else knows, you're actually hoping that they get what they have coming to them. And we say that, don't we? They got what they had coming to them. Maybe even you pray that they get what they have coming to them. Some of you guilty of that? You know what's odd? Is we know it happens in other people's lives, and we wish for and hope that it happens and pray for it to happen in other people's lives. And then when our lives fall apart and we end up lying in the bed that we made, or we end up getting what we deserved, we look to God and say, why have you forsaken me? Why is what did I do? Why is this going wrong? Certainly it can't be me. Have we ever thought that way before? When in reality, we know we just need to learn to apply it to ourselves as well and not make ourselves the exception, that we reap what we sow. So today, you are in your circumstances, and I know there's exceptions to this because sometimes there's people in your lives that affect your lives, and they make choices that affect different things. Sometimes the world is what it is, and that affects certain things. But I would venture to guess that the vast majority of times, the circumstances that you find yourself in today, you're there because of the things you decided to do yesterday. You are in some of your predicaments because you made choices yesterday. And while that might leave us without hope, because you can't change the past, right? And we say that sometimes, we can't change the past. Sometimes we say it dismissively. You know, like, well, you know, I can't do anything about that now. The past is the past. But you know what we can change? The future. What we don't realize sometimes is though we're sitting in the mess that we created for ourselves today, we created that yesterday, we can still make tomorrow better by the choices we make today. So if we think about the warning signs and what are the potential dangers for the choices I make today, and it might bring devastation to me tomorrow, or it might bring good things to me tomorrow, I might have the motivation to start making the right choices today. And you and I know, and this is probably the hardest thing with consequences and reaping what we sow, is that they often come gradually. You see, I'm going to use the words yesterday, today, and tomorrow, But really, it could be yesterday, that could be days or weeks or months or years, sometimes even decades, sometimes even a lifetime of choices that are affecting today and ongoing. And sometimes when we reap for years, it takes years of reaping to change the circumstances. And so yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and I keep wanting to say forever because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But yesterday, today, and tomorrow are just words to capture time. Okay, you with me? All right, so we are in today's circumstances because of choices we've made, and we want to know, what are the dangers of making bad financial decisions or bad decisions in general? Have you ever regretted a decision you made? Okay, you probably regretted it because you arrived at today and you began to reap what you sowed. And if we understand what's at stake, what could be lost, what could happen to us, if we make poor choices, if we don't deal with our emotions and our passions, the things that could potentially happen in our lives if we make those choices. And so today is one of those medication commercials for you. All right? You excited? I'm going to give you all the warnings. First is this. It puts a strain on our lives. When we make bad decisions, it puts a strain on our lives. It restrains different things in our lives. The first is our choices. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. When you choose to take on debt, you choose to limit your choices tomorrow. So when you chose to take on that leased car, or to purchase the car and get a car loan to get that car, now you have $400, $500, $600 a month for a car payment. Now some of you are down to $200, $300 a month, but that's still significant, is it not? And so you take the car payment, and then you decide tomorrow that you want to spend some money on something, and you are limited on your choice of where you can live. Your friends want to go out to eat, and you're limited on when you can go out to eat with them. Your choices are limited because you don't have the money. Why? Because of what you're doing today? No. Because the choices I made yesterday. And see, sometimes we get confused with God's mercy and his forgiveness. We think that when God forgives us and he says he forgives us, that means that all the consequences of our actions will be eliminated. Okay? That's not the way life works, and I think you know that experientially. That sometimes in God's mercy, he'll remove the consequences of our actions, but many times he forgives us in the eternal space. That we aren't going to be judged for that, and we're going to be able to go to heaven still despite what we did, despite our actions. But he still allows sometimes us to lie in our bed. And so when you take on that debt, you are now limited on the things that you can choose to do. And you might say, well, I can turn the car back in if I leased it. Well, some of you who have leased cars knows what happens if you return the car too early. Okay? You still end up with some form of debt or penalty that you have to pay. Or if you bought a car with a car payment with a loan and you return the car, let's say you had it for a year and you decide, can't afford this, I'm turning it back. Do you get back the entire value of what you took the loan out for? Oh, if you've learned about cars, they go down in value very quickly. In fact, as soon as you drive if you get a brand new car, as soon as you drive it off the lot, boom, down goes the value. And so even though but I gave the car back, I don't understand. Yeah, you don't owe as much as you did because you paid some of your debt off with what you sold the car for, but you still owe debt. And so there are many choices that you and I make that in our yesterday that we can't escape today, even if we throw some Hail Marys and try to do different things. Our choices, our options are limited because of our choices. And so before you decide to sign that deal, before you decide to say that statement, before you decide to do that action, remember that tomorrow I might be paying for it with my choices. Also, strain on my resources. 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Now, this doesn't mean that we should not be charitable to those who are in predicaments even of their own making. However, when you make choices like you decided not to get an education, you decided to not take that job, you decided to, we know the phrase, burn down bridges, right? You know, you manage that relationship poorly and you burned a bridge where otherwise they might have been there to help you out or they might have hired you. You burned your bridges. And so because of those choices, now you are limited on the resources you can acquire because you can't get that job, you can't get that income, you can't get into that housing because of choices you made yesterday. Doesn't that stink? Wouldn't you love if you could just wipe the slate clean every single day? But that's not the way it is. And so if I know that, if I know the warning signs, if I know before I do this, I might be restraining my future resources, I may be tempted to have the motivation to not do what I'm about to do. It also puts a strain on our time. Proverbs 11:4, though we might not catch this just by the statement, I'll explain, says this, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. That means that no matter how much I've acquired in the earthly sense, when I stand before God at the judgment, I can't buy my way in. It means nothing. And how many times do we find ourselves chasing after stuff that doesn't matter, and then we don't have time for our family or time to be involved in the body of Christ or time to do the important things because we have to work this job so that we can acquire this stuff. We have to take on this debt and now then work this job, and I don't have the time. Some of you are working more hours because you have the debt to pay off. Some of you are working more hours because of the choices that you made, and you're stuck to where you don't have the time that you'd like to have. And if I know this going in, I may decide to make the right choice. It puts a strain on our access to the truth. What do you mean? You mean if I make a bad choice, I might become ignorant? I might not be able to understand things? I might not be able to know what the truth is? Could that be possible? Proverbs 18:11 says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. When we begin to pursue something, we create ideas in our heads that are not entirely real. In fact, Jesus said on two occasions, Matthew 13:22 and Mark 4:19, he mentions the deceitfulness of riches. Because if you find yourself, have you ever seen somebody watching TV and you come up to them and you say, hey, and all you get is this? And you might even nudge them or stomp your foot or say, hey. All you get is this. Or they're on their phone or whatever, and they're just completely zoned out. You know why? The more focused you get on pursuing a thing, the more blind you're pursuing to other things around you. And it's the same whether it's you're pursuing an income, whether you're pursuing a relationship, and there's nothing wrong in pursuing those things, but we just have to understand that sometimes in our choices of pursuing, we end up making ourselves blind and there's things that we can't see. Have you ever seen people make really bad decisions and you thought, you really couldn't see that coming? Have you ever thought that before? I mean, you really thought that was going to go differently? I mean, I can't believe you're going to make that choice. You know why? Because they are, or someone going into a marriage. Have you ever seen someone going into a marriage and you thought, you really going to go into that marriage? Do you know who that person is? And the reason why they're going into that marriage is because they're blind, because they're so focused on the thing that they're pursuing. If we understand that about our choices, then the strain that it puts on our lives, perhaps when we go to act, speak, do, feel, not do, we may decide to make the right choice. It puts a strain on us. Secondly, it brings corruption into our lives. This is something that I think many of us know the first one, the strain that these choices put on our lives, but I think a few of us know the way that our choices end up corrupting who we are. You see, in many ways, the person that you are today, you know, the kind of person that you are, the character that you have, was created by yesterday's choices. And sometimes you don't realize that. You're an angry person and you lack patience. In many occasions, that's because of choices you made yesterday. You're a depressed person. You're a sad person. In many ways, you're that today because of the choices you made yesterday. You're a joyful person. You're a faithful person. You're a committed person. Many times, a person doesn't become that without the choices and the actions. You become that because of the choices you made yesterday. And so before you act, before you do, remember that you are changing who you are with every choice that you make. Isn't that scary? We should read the warning labels on our actions, shouldn't we? Have you ever said, I wish somebody would have told me this? Have you ever thought that or said that before? Well, I'm telling you it now. The scriptures are telling you it now. With every action, carefully stop and ask yourself, what's going to be the consequences of this? So what is the corruption? First, general destruction can be brought into our lives. Proverbs 1:19 says, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessions. Proverbs 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. I would love to have six-pack abs, but I have one ab. And there's a reason for that. Did you know that? If you want a six-pack ab, or if you've ever complained about, anybody ever grab your stomach and say, yeah, this is so irritating, okay? And I can't see my feet. Or have you ever gotten up and walked a mile and then you were exhausted and you're so irritated that you can't make it a mile without just being like the way that you are? You know why that is? Because oftentimes, and though sometimes genetics plays into it and different things, but oftentimes you are in the present physical condition that you are today. You know why? Because of decisions you made yesterday. That hoagie that, oh, tastes so good. That big bowl of ice cream or that sundae that tastes great that you might eat every single night because you're struggling with depression. Staying up late and missing out on sleep or doing the different things that you do or putting yourself in stressful situations. And then you look down today and you go, why is this belly here? Why do I feel so miserable? Why? Because when you make bad decisions, whether they're a decision to act or not act, you are reaping what you're going to sow. And today, you are what you are because of your choices in the past. And so I can't get there if you're not going to do, if you're not going to do the exercise, if you're not going to do the diet, if you're not going to restrain yourself and your choices, guess what? Today's what it is because of those reasons. But does that mean that you can't get there? No. It just means that today you have to start making the right decisions and your tomorrow can be better. And this is what Jesus wants you to know this morning. Tomorrow, no matter what circumstances you are in, no matter how bad you made it, in whatever area of life you've made it in, tomorrow can be so significantly better. And again, I remind you, whether it means it's a day's journey or week's journey or year's journey, you can see a better future because the principle is true. We reap what we sow if we make the right choices. So it brings general destruction. Also, Romans 13 verse 8 says to owe no one anything. Now, what does this have to do with our view of other people? Because this is an interesting statement. If you've ever looked at Romans 13, it seems a little bit out of place. Because the statement on its own, owe nobody, do not owe anybody anything, seems like Paul's saying, what, maybe don't take on debt or something? But the passage has nothing to do with debt. Nothing at all. It's a weird statement to be right there. In fact, the passage is the passage that talks about our submission to authorities and how we need to interact with authorities. And then it goes on how we're supposed to treat everybody. And the owing is, do not owe to, if you owe someone respect, give them the respect. If you owe them service, give them service. If you owe them faithfulness, give them faithfulness. If you owe them money, give them money. And I was praying about that and reflecting on that, and it dawned on me what it has to do with that. Because what Paul was writing to them about is how they treat other people. And he said, if you owe it to them, give it to them. And you want to know why? Because if I owe respect to somebody and I don't give it to them, but I gain something from them, and that's why I owe them the respect and I don't give it to them, then what my focus was not on them, but what I was going to gain from them. And all of a sudden, I become corrupted in the way I view the people in my life. Because if you get too focused on whatever it is you're trying to acquire, security and safety, peace of mind, welfare, health, better financial situation, certain relationships, you have certain things that you're after, you sometimes begin to realize that this person might be the key to get there. You begin to realize this person could help me. You begin to realize this person's in the way. And as you begin to realize that, those people no longer become people. They become instruments. They become vessels. They become tools that you can use to get what you want. And when you've done that, you've demoted them from being a person who's made in God's image. And my passions and my desires and my choices to pursue things ends up corrupting who I am because I'm no longer someone who loves people. I'm someone who just gets what I want and I use people. We don't really want to become that person, do we? But my choices yesterday are affecting if that's the person I am today. Also, it provokes anxiety in us. Matthew 6 mentions Jesus' statement, do not be anxious, and he talks about the different provisions that we might be anxious about. He says also, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he attaches that to anxiety because the more you think about your stuff, the more anxious you get. The more you decide, have you ever made a plan and then you got anxious because you were worried that the plan was going to fall through? Okay. Have you ever tried to make certain things happen and then you got anxious because you didn't know if it was going to happen? Or then when it did happen, some of you are a little over-anxious, and I know who you are and I won't call you out. Some of you, you get there, and the plan is accomplished. You get into the house, you get into the job, you get into the relationship, you get into whatever it is, and then you get anxious even though you have it. And why do you get anxious? Because you wonder if you can keep it still. And we're focused on the stuff, and just that's the effect of having stuff, is the more stuff you have and the more stuff you try to get, whether it's material things or just circumstances or people in your life, the more you're focused on getting and retaining that stuff, the more anxious you get. That's just what happens. It provokes anxiety in us. So before you decide to buy that thing, before you decide to agree to that service, before you decide to enter that marriage or that relationship, before you decide to say that, I'm telling you, there's so many times that before some of us talk, we should read a warning label. my wife was at the grocery store the other day with my daughter, and they were looking at the cereal thing, and my wife was asking Faith her opinion on what she would think about purchasing a certain cereal, and she was getting her input on that. And she noticed a lady standing behind her, waiting. So she turned aside and said, oh, I'm sorry. And the lady said, oh, that's okay. I was just watching your daughter tell you what to do. And I thought, she didn't read the warning label. We should read the warning label before we talk, before we think, before we feel, before we do. We need to read the warning label because there is so much devastation on the other side of every single choice that we have to make. You are in your present day circumstances because of yesterday. It is also bringing corruption into our lives because it makes us hard to please. How's that so? Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money. You realize what that's saying? He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. And here's the dynamic. The more you stimulate yourself, whether it's with money and possessions, whether it's with drugs and alcohol, whether it's with pleasures, whether it's with sex, whether it's with any of those things, and some of those things are okay in the right context. But the more stimulation that you have in your life in whatever form, guess what? The more it takes to make you stimulated. You know, if you go down through those roller coasters and you're zipping all over the place and you're getting that excitement, and then you go get on the kiddie ride, how excited are you to be on that kiddie ride? All right? Because it's not stimulating enough. And then the next time, if you ride that roller coaster 6 times in a row, the 6th time, either you're sick or it's just not as exciting anymore. If you ate one piece of pie and then another piece of pie and another piece of pie, same thing. Either you end up sick by the time you're eating that 8th slice of pie or it just doesn't taste as good anymore. Because I don't know what it is, just the way that we are, the way that we're designed, or the way sin has corrupted us, the more pleasure you get, the less satisfied you are with things. And so we need to remember, before I decide to reach for that stimulation, before I decide to reach for that pleasure, I need to remember, what kind of person am I making myself tomorrow? These are the things that we need to consider. Lastly, my choices, what does it do if going to a relationship with Jesus Christ? The things you decide to do today are going to affect how close you are with Jesus tomorrow. The things you decided to do yesterday, if you're wondering why you feel distant from the Lord, why you have a hard time being faithful to him, why it's just you don't seem to have the Holy Spirit in your life the way you'd like, why those different things. It's not because God said he's not willing to give it to you. It's because the things you decided to do or not do yesterday. So how does it affect our relationship with the Lord? First, it causes us to unknowingly deny our faith. Huh? How's that? Well, Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8, he says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That means that I might be going to church, I might be listening to K-Love, I might be living a righteous life, I might be studying my Bible, I might even be preaching, I might be worshiping, I might be doing all kinds of things. But if I have this relative of mine that's in need and I don't help take care of that need, I might have all the showy stuff here. I might even feel close to God and I see angels and visions and all kinds of wonderful things. And yet my relative is here in need and I am not doing anything about that. I've denied the faith. And how is it that I've denied the faith? Well, you see, Jesus said that whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. John said in 1 John, he said, how can I say I love God and yet I hate my brother? Because if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have faith in his people, his creation, and you have value that you feel towards the people, if you truly believe this stuff that you sing that you believe, that you say you believe, that you witness to others that you believe, that you sacrifice that you believe, that you live a certain lifestyle that you believe, and you say that you have that faith, and yet you don't treat people the right way, you've denied the faith that you claim that you have. It's affecting your relationship with Jesus, the choice things that you're choosing to say to people, do to people, not do for people. We have to remember that my relationship with Jesus is being affected by the decisions I made yesterday and today. It affects my relationship with Jesus by causing me to not seek the kingdom. Jesus said, do not be anxious for your life, but what? In verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek his kingdom. Some of you can't go or don't have the desire to be a part of church consistently. Some of you don't have the right kind of prayer life or seeking to study the word. Some of you are not involved in ministry and fulfilling the calling that every one of us has a calling on our life, fulfilling that calling. Some of you are not doing that. You don't spend the time on that. Some of you aren't the kind of giver that God wants you to be. Some of you are not participating in the kingdom because of past choices that you made that made you not have the motivation to do so, that made you not care to do so, that made you not have the time to do so. When you made choices yesterday, that's why you're in the shape you are in today. And oh, it feels so much better to blame someone else, doesn't it? You know, it's because of the, you know, every time I drive home, I drive by the Dairy Queen, and that's why I eat ice cream all the time. Every time when I go into, have you ever walked into like a Walmart early enough where they're baking bread? Have you ever done that before? Anybody like hot baked bread, the smell of hot baked bread? And you walk in, and it doesn't matter how fattening that bread, because if you don't notice, bread turns into sugar when you consume it, if you didn't know that. Bread is not, if you want to like lose weight, that's not the best way to go typically, all right? But when you go in there and you smell that, you can every bit as you want say, man, if they weren't baking that bread, I wouldn't eat it. You know, if my wife didn't put in the refrigerator that stuff in there, I wouldn't eat it. If we wouldn't have candy for Valentine's Day and Christmas and Easter and Halloween and any other occasion that we might be able to throw candy in, then I wouldn't be eating the candy all the time. It wouldn't be so heavy. Or it would be so out of shape. Or it wouldn't feel so awful. The truth is, most of the time, we decided to be in the circumstances we're in today. Last way it affects our relationship with Jesus is because it causes us to provide competition for Jesus. Huh? How does it do that? Jesus said in Matthew 6 again, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And the reason is because no one can serve two masters. When you decide that you want to chase after, pursue other things, and while, like I said before, there's a balance to this, you can pursue other things and still be faithful to Jesus. But oftentimes when you find yourself chasing after things, whether it's possessions, whether it's relationship, whether it's circumstances, whatever it is, health, whatever it is, you find yourself chasing after things, remember that at some point you lost track of Jesus. You aren't looking for him. You aren't speaking to him. You're not trying to connect with him, his body, his kingdom. You're not praying. You're not studying your Bible. You're not living a certain way. You're not even giving it much thought because you got wrapped up in your pursuit. Because what Jesus said is true. You can't serve two masters. You chose the wrong one. Will you stand with me, worship team? Will you come and prepare to lead us? oddity about time is that today you are living in what was once your future. At some point in your life, this was the future. And you've done things, said things, chosen different things, and it's the reason why you're here today. But if we were to live on long enough, at some point, this will be our past. And no matter how much you've messed up your life, that's the amazing thing about the Redeemer. And we sang this song earlier, I Am Redeemed, right? That's the amazing thing about a Redeemer is he can still come in and start to help you clean up the messes. If you have a bad marriage, he can give you a good one, no matter how sour it might have become. If you're in bad health, he can change that. If you're in a bad financial situation, emotional situation, he can change that. If your relationship with Christ isn't what it should be, he can change that, but it's going to take your choices and time. And here's the question for you. You might say you want forgiveness, and that's all well and good, and we should ask for that. But my question for you is, and go ahead and lead us, Joe, in whatever you feel led. My question for you is, are you willing to decide that today's going to be the day that you make a better future? Is today going to be a day that you decide, you know what, I'm done with making these horrible choices. I'm done with making my bed and lying in it. I want a good bed. I don't want to be stuck sleeping on the floor. I want to be sleeping in that king-size bed that feels oh so comfortable. I want to be in that bed. But if you want to be in that bed, you got to start making the choices. And so some of us, we realize that not only for the better life for ourselves, but we realize that my relationship with Jesus is the way that it is this morning. I struggle to hear from him. I struggle with whatever with Jesus. It's the way it is this morning, not because it's someone else's fault, but because I chose to be apathetic. I chose to be absent. I chose to be uninvolved. I chose to not do. I chose to pursue. I chose to chase after other things, and I didn't make Jesus the thing that I was after. So I think some of you need to come down to these altars this morning and say, Jesus, I need your help, first of all, because I'm going to make this commitment. I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to make the commitment. I'm telling you, if you come down and you make a commitment to Jesus to walk with him and walk in the Spirit, what is it that produces life in us? If we walk in the Spirit, right? If we walk in the flesh, that means death. But are you willing to make that choice to say, today I'm committing to making my choices based on what Jesus wants me to do today? Amen? Will you come and seek him, and let's let our lives be changed this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, for those, whether they came forward, whether they're still in the pew, that there are those that are among us that are in some form of despair in one degree or another, and they need your forgiveness, and they need your strength, and they need your deliverance. And we ask, Lord, you said we have not because we ask not. So we ask that if you're willing in your mercy, that you would remove the consequences today of yesterday, that you would do that. But if you decide not to, we ask that you would give us the strength to endure so that we can become the person you want to shape us to be, and so that we can live in victory and freedom ongoing from now and into the future. May this be a day that altered the course of our lives, Lord, that we choose Jesus, choose righteousness, choose life. There's choices before us, and may you help us to have the wisdom and the will and the passion and the strength to choose the right things. Not only so that our lives can be better, but so that we can be a better testimony and a witness to the goodness of the Lord. Do that work in us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad he's done the things he's done in your life today and past? Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Well, next week I invite you to come back. I don't know if you know this, but God has two financial goals for your life that many of us don't live out. And we're going to discuss about what those are and how to live those out. Apart from maybe potentially see some other miscellaneous insights God gives us about finances. Did you know that Jesus talking about money is, I think, the subject's only maybe second or third to hell and to salvation? He talked about it often because he knew it affected our lives. And we want to make sure that we honor him with what he gives us. Also want to give a quick reminder that, again, there's food, there's groceries, and there's food pantry, canned goods and stuff in the back if you have need of that. Also, Joni and the ladies that are going to Hershey have a meeting after service. Where are you going to meet? So right up here in the front, right after service, those of you that are going to Hershey, meet up there. But thank you so much for being here this morning. I hope that you are blessed by the Lord and by the Holy Spirit. God bless you. See you next Sunday.